Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
We have on the line Anthea Sarasetto, the CEO of the Governing Body Foundation. That, just by the way, is the organization that represents governing bodies within the public school system. Anthea Sarasetto, once again, what a pleasure to have you with us on 101.9 Hi FM.
Right, good afternoon to all of you.
Hello, Anthea.
Hello.
Anthea, these are difficult times. These are uncharted waters, and I can only imagine that for somebody in your position, challenging would be an understatement. And given that all that's happening within the educational sector at the moment, the question has to be asked about fairness between the public sector education and the private sector sphere. What, given your position, is your take on the issue?
Yeah, you're right there about it being very difficult, and very difficult for our Minister of Education having to make a decision the other evening. You know, fairness is a problematic word. I don't think fairness exists anywhere. And so bringing this particular matter down to fairness is rather difficult. We have an independent sector which is allowed to exist in terms of our education law. And then, of course, the very large public sector. Now, we had a decision the other day that closed schools for public school, schooling for public schools.
Sure.
But not for independent. And that has caused some argument. Now, the problem is, on what basis did the president close schooling in the public sector? Was it based on COVID-19 risks? Or was it based on something else? If it's based on COVID-19 risk being too high, and therefore a break would be necessary in order to allow the peak to move, then it should have been applicable to everyone. However, my take is that it was not necessarily based on that, because we don't know when this peak is going to hit, and the peak won't be uniform across the country. So it's possibly has passed the Western Cape, is moving through Gauteng, etc., etc. So it's a very unknown thing. So this closure, I believe, was based on the teachers in the public sector saying that their schools were not able to be made safe for teachers in particular, and then their learners. Other information that we have coming from the National Department and also our own research is about 70% of public schools were functioning perfectly well and happily.
Yeah.
30% of them had issues, but not unsolvable. About 10% perhaps had really bad issues. Now, the public sector has state-employed educators, and the fee-paying schools employ those educators, but they also employ their own educators paid out of school fund, for which obviously they need school fees. So
sure.
Now we close schools, and we have parents saying, well, what am I paying the school fees for? So the fee-paying schools, where they're able, continue to provide education so that the parents continue to believe they must pay their fees. The teachers remain employed. The state ones remain employed whether they're teaching or not teaching under the current system. But if you have the independent sector, all of those teachers are employed and they're salaries come out of school fee payments, which are contractual by nature. So if the independent schools don't offer any teaching, by contract, under present circumstances, if you don't deliver, you don't have to pay. So the independent schools are going to go on teaching, as they have been, whether the schools are open or whether the schools are closed, they will just move online, and so service for those independent school learners continues. The same with the good, strong, fee-paying schools, they've also continued learning whether schools were open or not. So there's no fairness involved here. If it's closed or if it's open, the schools that are able to operate operate. So those children are educated. And so it eventually works out that the poorest and the most disadvantaged children lose out, whether school is open or school is closed. So it's a non-issue, this fairness thing. It's wrong and it's unequal as it is. It's totally wrong. It's totally unfair. Children are being denied the right to basic education, and it is quite legal to limit that right in terms of the Constitution, provided the grounds are reasonable and justifiable, which we would say they are if the closure and the reduction in education is because of COVID. But if it's something else, then it makes it even more unfair for learners who are being denied it. And I'm sure you are all very well aware of quite a lot of research, quite a lot of opinion that's been put out there, including the South African Human Rights Commission, scientists, the medical people, that looking at South Africa, all our children would be better off at school. The risk is less if they're at school than if they're not at school. And so all in all, it's not a very fair situation that is going on. The advantage get advantage, and the disadvantage.
Sorry to interrupt you. But surely children going to school heightens the risk for families, because children, it's been documented that children carry the virus. I'm just trying to understand how it helps us to manage the virus if kids are going to school, meeting up with other kids, they also become carriers of the virus and then go home and take it home to their families who have been in quarantine for all intents and purposes.
Well, that's a matter of risk that has been weighed up by the scientists who've examined this. And the children are supposedly not very bad vectors of the disease. And in other words, they don't transmit it. It's the adults that are the transmitters of it. So if we keep children in pods, in groupings, in class groupings with their one teacher and their one class group, and they practice the protocols. Now, they're not supposed to get close to each other. And in fact, transmission requires quite a close degree of proximity and continuous proximity. Right. So they don't believe it is a very dangerous situation in schools.
Okay, and I'm so sorry, but we are actually completely out of time. We've got another guest waiting on the line as we speak. I'm so sorry. We're going to have to catch up with you another time, and let's see what can be done. Thank you so much.
Yes, all right.
Thank you so much. Good. Take care. Bye-bye.